Continuing on the Nick Abraham Saturday Morning Sports Wrap-Up Show, we're thrilled to have special guest, longtime Cleveland Browns, voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. And, of course, you know him as sports anchor and anchor at WKYC-TV Channel 3 in Cleveland. And, Jim, really appreciate your time. And with the Browns off to their best start in nearly 20 years, and you've been part of all of that, just your thoughts on this 3-1 start for the Browns.
Well, it's been pretty terrific, I have to tell you, Rob. When you consider, you know, that there was really no off season at all as far as being on the practice field, no OTAs, no mini camps, no preseason games, and you throw into the mix then a brand new head coach who's a first-time head coach, just the fact that he had to acquaint himself to his team and get right out on the field and play in the regular season to come out of the first quarter of the season with a 3-1 record, I think is really a job well done. So they've done a great job. Andrew Berry's done a great job as the general manager. I think they got a lot of work done in free agency. Looks as though they had a very solid draft. And Kevin Stefanski has done an amazing job getting this team ready to play as quickly as he has and as successfully as he has. And he's got them in big games now, and they have to realize that. That they are in big ball games, like Sunday's game against the Colts.
And, you know, speaking of Kevin Stefanski, just your thoughts on him. And as you alluded to in your first answer, this whole thing was set up that it would be very, very difficult, and everybody would understand why they weren't going to be able to have success. What is it about Kevin Stefanski? What has he done to give them this opportunity for this early success?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it would have been a mulligan, you know, for him and the entire organization if they got off to a rough start and maybe even had an underwhelming year. But the thing about him, Rob, is that, and it's easy to compare what happened last year to what so far is happening right now, but it's just a drastic change for the better. And he's impeccably organized. I mean, and the team is very organized. And even on Sundays when you watch them play, gone are the days of having to burn timeouts because they can't get plays in. Right now, you know, they're right down close to the bottom of the league as far as penalties are concerned. That's another good sign of being organized. He's very inventive offensively. He's taken a lot of pages out of a lot of other guys' playbooks, and then he's married them into his own philosophy where he was in Minnesota for so long and then took it here to the Browns. And he's really just been a master of detail, and that's the first thing I think that the Browns really needed very badly. They needed organization, they needed leadership, and I think the players welcomed that. I think that they had a bad taste in their mouth after going through that season last year where they were supposed to be great, and they weren't great at all. They were 6-10, and they were at times really kind of embarrassing on the field, the way they prepared or the lack thereof. So just in the fact that they are ready to go every week and they are, you know, pristinely prepared for the game has made it a really good sight to see them playing out on the field. And that's the head coach really driving that through. You can see it when they practice, and then it just spills over onto game day on Sunday.
How big was the win in Dallas to get a road win, even though the Cowboys right now are 1-3, but everybody knows their history, their tradition, for the Browns to go there and get a road win? What could that mean for 2020?
You know, I think it's kind of a signature win. I think when the schedule came out, Rob, you took a look at it and you said, with a bizarre offseason, to have to open up in Baltimore and the Ravens expected to be a great team, and I think that that's very, very accurate, that's going to be tough. But then the next two games, being at home, Cincinnati and Washington, and in the states that those organizations are in right now, sort of on the rebuild, you should win those games. And they did that. So they were 2-1. They were where they were supposed to be. But I think this win last week was really kind of a signature win because they still are the Cowboys, and you're still going down to AT&T Stadium, which is one of the centerpiece places in the NFL. And you're taking on Jerry Jones's team and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. And I think the Browns also knew they had to go in there and they were going to have to score a lot of points. And boy, did they ever, scoring 49. So the key thing now, Rob, is that in the past, when they've had a big win like this, they've never built on it and, you know, let it, avalanche into more big wins. They've always won a big game. And then you expect them to say, okay, now we're on the right road. And they kind of falter. Like last year, when they won in Baltimore last year, that was a big win. and you expected them to build on that, and then they went out the next week in the Monday night game, and they just got blown out in San Francisco, and then the wheels came off after that. So I think this was a signature win for them, and we'll see what they do now. The aftermath of that win will be interesting because they go into a tough little stretch here of a really good Indianapolis team, and then the old trip over to Pittsburgh at Heinz Field to take on the Steelers, and then probably a tougher game against the Bengals when you have to play them in their place, and Joe Burrow getting better and better every week. But I think it was a big, big win for them, kind of a, you know, a declaration that they can really score and go up and down with any team, because as many problems as Dallas is having on defense, offensively they are still very, very proficient.
With the loss of Nick Chubb, at least for the next 3 weeks, how do you see that changing the offense for the Browns? How do they divvy it up collectively? Does this put more pressure on Baker Mayfield? How do you see them surviving the loss of Chubb?
Well, I think it's a big loss. It really is. But I have two thoughts on that. I think the first thought is, I think that Kareem Hunt on many NFL teams would be the lead running back. But on this team, when Nick Chubb is healthy, that's not the case. And I think that Kareem Hunt has been very appreciative to the loyalty that the Browns organization showed him by getting him back into the NFL from where he was, being on the outside looking in after what happened in the off-the-field situation and getting released by Kansas City. So I think he's done his job, but there is so much more talent with Kareem Hunt, that is there for the taking. So I am looking and saying, I think that there's the possibility that Kareem Hunt is going to explode in this new role, because that's what he did in Kansas City when he got the opportunity to be their number one back. He won the rushing title, after all, in 2017. I think he's a dynamic player. And, you know, they have D'Ernest Johnson behind him, who did a great job last week in Dallas. And Dontrell Hilliard, also did a good job. So I think they're very comfortable. The big thing they have, Rob, is they have a really good offensive line right now, and that makes everything look easier and look better. But I really think that Kareem Hunt is just going to relish this role, and you're going to see the whole package. It might open up their offense a little bit more than where it is right now, because he catches the ball so well out of the backfield. It might really spread them out a little bit more and make them a little bit more dynamic in the short passing game with a lot of yards coming after the catch. But there is going to be a point, I think, where we're all going to look at each other and say, man, they missed Nick Chubb. I felt they missed Nick Chubb late in the game last week against Dallas when that lead started to melt away and they couldn't stay on the field offensively, because Nick Chubb can do that. He can really run out the clock for you. You can give him three carries and he's going to get your first down, and that's going to be mission accomplished. But, if they were going to get hit in an area with an injury, and I hate to see Chubb go, they can accept that injury with the kind of running backs that they have.
Again, we're joined by Jim Donovan, the longtime radio voice of the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, you also know him as a sports anchor and TV anchor over at Channel 3 WKYC TV in Cleveland. And, Jim, you follow a long line of great radio play-by-play broadcasters for the Browns in Cleveland. As a kid, I grew up listening to Gibb Shanley, and then you've got Nev Chandler, Casey, and now yourself, having done it for over 20 years. You ever sit back and think about that kind of that line, that lineage that you're part of now, and done it as probably longer than anybody with the Browns, I would think?
Boy, I have to tell you, Rob, I think about it almost every day. I have to tell you, it's a very, very special job because of the names that you just mentioned as the people that have had it before me. I can remember when I first came to Cleveland in 1985, but certainly in 1986, when the Browns had that really great team and they were 12-4 and they were the number one seed in the AFC, and they're playing the Jets in that Saturday afternoon playoff game at the old stadium. And I can remember being in the stadium and saying, gosh, Nev Chandler's a lucky guy. He's going to be calling an incredible game, which it was. It was an instant classic, and he's going to be doing it in this amazing atmosphere that was, the old stadium wasn't pretty, but when it was full, it was absolutely beautiful with the sounds that came out of there. So I really said, man, he's a lucky guy to be doing that. I would love to be able to get the opportunity someday to do it. All of those guys did it so well that it really pushes you to carry on that tradition. You never take anything lightly, even when they're 0-16, Rob, and 1-15 the year before that. You always prepare for it because there's a great tradition in that booth no matter who, you know, is talking into the microphone. So it's a great honor to have the job, and I love it, and I love the fact that they're winning. And I wish that everybody could be with us in the stadium in this really unusual year to enjoy it, because it really is. It's so much fun around Northeast Ohio when the Browns are winning games.
Does that make your job even more important now, the realization that you don't have as many fans in the stadium as you normally would? Did you even ever think about that? I know at the high school level, we've had people mention to us, hey, you know, we're getting to listen more often now because we can't go. Do you think of that at all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you really do. You look at it, you walk into the stadium, and it's really very, very weird, to be honest with you, because – it's such an event. An NFL game is such an event because it's once a week and there's such a buildup for it. And people around here get so excited when the Browns are playing in a big game like this game coming up against the Colts. I mean, I could only imagine, you know, that to have everybody in there, to have a sellout crowd in there with a 4:25 kickoff and two teams both at 3-1 playing in a big game, what it would be like. So I really miss them, but I really do feel that a lot of people are, you know, they're with us, whether it be on the radio or watching it on television. I get it. I really do. And, you know, I get a lot of feedback from people and a lot of response from people about the broadcast. So, I mean, to be able to bring Browns football in any way that you possibly can to the legions of fans that, you know, live by it, it's a great responsibility, but it's one that I really just cherish.
Jim, finally, before we let you go, talk about being in the booth with Doug Deacon as long as you have. He's the only broadcast partner you've had. He's been with the Browns Radio Network since he's retired. I believe it's been about 35 years. Of course, great left tackle for the Browns for 13, 14 years before that. What's your relationship with Doug like? And it sounds like you guys have an awful lot of fun working together.
Oh, we really do. I mean, best of friends. You know, it's funny, Rob, when the Browns were coming back in 1999 and we were going through all the different levels of auditioning to see who was going to get the jobs, they would bring you in and you would call the game off a television monitor, which is ironic now because when the Browns are on the road, that's how we're doing the game. But they brought you into a studio in downtown Cleveland, I remember, on a Sunday afternoon, and they paired you up with different guys to do a quarter of the game off of a television monitor. And we would call the game, and I would be, I can remember I was paired up with Hanford Dixon, and I was paired up with Bob Golic, and I was paired up with Brian Brennan at one point. But I was never paired up with Doug Deacon. And it was strange because, you know, Doug was being paired up with other possible play-by-play guys. But I always felt that if we did get paired up together, it would really work. And we have just really had the greatest time together. You know, I would do anything for him, and he has done everything for me during parts of our 22 years together. And really, it's like any really good broadcast team, I hope, and certainly I feel that we are a good broadcast team, and that is it's just two guys talking about the game, really, you know, on a microphone, and that's how we approach it. I mean, I love talking to him during the game. I love talking to him before the game because he has great insight. I love getting his critique of how the Browns played and how offensive linemen played during the game, after the game, because he's got a real eye for that and a real touch and a real feel for that. So I would love the Browns to have a big, big year and, you know, go deep into the playoffs, if not all the way to the Super Bowl at some point, whether it's this year or in the near future. I would love it for everybody, but I would really love it for him. It would really be special. It's kind of like when, you know, when Herb Score was retiring and had announced his retirement, and that was going to be his last year in 1997. As sad as I was that night down in Miami when the Indians lost the World Series and the way they lost it, I was also really sad because, you know, that was Herb's last game on the radio, and he was going to walk away from it. And I would have loved to have seen the Indians win the World Series, you know, in large part, you know, for him. I would feel the same way for Doug if the Browns could go all the way.
Well, that's really well said. And, Jim, I really appreciate your time. I know our listeners have really enjoyed this. Thanks again. Enjoy listening to you, whether they win or lose. A heck of a lot more fun to listen to you when they win. But you do it. And as the sales manager at WEOL, I appreciate how you mix in all those live reads. You do a great job with that. I got to teach our guys to do as good a job as you do.
Maybe I should run kind of a symposium or something, hold a clinic. I'd be happy to do it.
No, we should talk about some naming rights to different things. Maybe you could help me out with some things. But, hey, again, thanks so much and continued success with the Browns and also with all the great work you do over at WKYC TV3.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns.